This is the Big K Morning Show, and Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Back in studio, haven't seen you, Rich, in a few weeks, so Happy New Year. Hope your holidays and everything went well.
Happy New Year to you. It's great to be back as we get back into the regular routine. Although I thought I was going to have to come in and start reading school closings, having been a patron of listening to you over the years, but I guess you don't do that anymore.
Oh, man. Thanks for technology. No, we don't. You can go to kdkradio.com, and there's a complete list today. Just a handful, almost all of those two-hour delays are in Fayette County because they got a lot more snow than we did here in Pittsburgh.
Well, I'm going to give kudos to PennDOT over the last couple of days, and even today coming out, the parkway was absolutely clear. They've been yeoman's work, and I know the county roads, county executive Anna Murata and her team out there doing a lot of work. I remember those days, waking up early, worrying about it, and now I know Sarah has to do that, and I get to roll over and sleep in a little
she
longer.
She gets the calls.
She gets the calls, exactly. But they've been doing a great job, Director Shanley and his team. So I know it's a stressful time, but those workers, I will say this for the folks that get in those trucks and those salt trucks, they remind me of NFL players. It's like game day for them. They are, their adrenaline is going, they're ready to go, and they really do their job.
And it's been a challenge because it's been persistent with the cold weather. And once you get to a certain temperature, as you know, the salt in some cases isn't as effective. So there's a lot of factors going into this.
That's exactly right. And we've seen that it's like, seems like day after day after day, while we don't get hit with that big, 6-inch snow, we're getting like an inch a day or a half inch a day that just keeps the roads persistently challenging for our road crews.
Hey, let's start with a little breaking news that's significant for the region. And since your job is working with 10 counties in the city, and that is Sam DeMarco, who you know very well from Allegheny County Council.
Yes.
He also chaired the Republican Party in the region. He's got a new job.
A new big job, quite frankly. And, as we start the year with, obviously the new administration is going to be coming in Washington, new Congress, new Senate. For the last 4 years, we were worried about our pipeline or our connections to the Biden administration and to the leadership in the Congress. Well, now obviously there's going to be a Trump administration, and you got to pivot and say, well, how are we going to get the resources we need in southwestern Pennsylvania? Well, Sam DeMarco, who serves on county council for the last decade, has really been one of those people that have been a pipeline. I know when I was county executive in the last Trump administration, Sam was very helpful in making some of those connections. We got the $100 million for the BRT, for example, happened during the time. So to have Sam DeMarco to be Senator McCormick's Western Pennsylvania director, I think will be a good news. Now, I will say this. On county council, you have two long-term members, Bob Macy and Sam DeMarco, have announced they're going to be leaving.
Right.
You have a lot of institutional knowledge, but not only that, you have people that I would consider in the moderate camp of each party. Probably Sam and Bob didn't always agree as Democrats and Republicans, but they were not, I would say, in the extremes end of their parties.
Yeah, that I think that makes a lot of sense. So we wish Sam DeMarco all the best in representing southwestern Pennsylvania through the new senator.
And yes.
We have one of each, a Republican and a Democrat again.
We have one of each, but they're both from the West. This is the first time John Fetterman.
Good point.
And McCormick. I think McCormick lives in Squirrel Hill. John lives in Braddock. So, we had Bob Casey and Pat Toomey before that, who were both on the other end of the state. So does that always matter? Sure, because they're here and they get to see things when they're back home, things that are needed. So it might benefit us here in southwestern Pennsylvania.
They're not going to rename the Ohio River or Monongahela Allegheny or anything, are they?
Well, you never know. You're starting to see. Maybe rename the Atlantic Ocean.
Gulf of America.
The Gulf of America.
Why not? Live it up. All right. From a practical standpoint, looking at the future, you really opened our eyes in the past year about the expanding artificial intelligence hub that we may become and are becoming. But also the announcement yesterday by one of the biggest companies really in the world, NVIDIA and Aurora. A major announcement, and I don't want to steal your thunder, but it's a big deal. Why?
A huge announcement. At the Consumer Electronics Show, the national show out in Las Vegas, the CEO of NVIDIA made this announcement that they are partnering with Aurora to start to manufacture on a large scale all the components for autonomous vehicles. He calls it the first multi-trillion dollar industry. So obviously the two big companies that are here going to be doing the R&D, they're partnering with a third company called Continental to manufacture. Continental, I believe, is based in Texas. So, but here's the other thing I think is a big story. For the first time in April, driverless, meaning humanless vehicles, are going to be riding on the roads in Texas. The route that's supposed to go from Dallas to Houston with trucks are going to have trucks with nobody in them.
Wow.
For the first time in April. That's going to be that. Now, they've been testing these for millions of miles, quite frankly, with somebody in it.
Right.
But now we're going to go, we're a few months away from actually nobody being in the vehicle. So
it seemed preposterous when this was first discussed years ago.
It has been. And
now it's going to come to fruition.
It's closer than it's ever been. But again, the development has been done here in Pittsburgh with technology out of CMU. Places like Stack AV and Aurora and even Uber have done a lot of their R&D has come out of Carnegie Mellon University, which was the first ones to do this.
Well, we're scheduled to talk to the senior vice president of Aurora right after the news at 8. Maybe I can con you into sticking around for a few minutes.
Absolutely. Because it's
this company. Tell us about Aurora.
Aurora is based in the Strip District. They're on Smallman Street in the Strip District. They are a CMU spin out. Chris Urmson is their CEO. I know I've toured it a number of times and ridden in a number of their vehicles. When you're in the vehicle, you actually feel very safe. You know the person sitting there and behind the wheel, but they're not touching the wheel. They're not touching anything. They're sitting there with a screen and they're tapping their, you know, keyboard and going through the things. But it's when you're in it, you actually feel like, wow, this thing is from as far, you kind of like, nobody's controlling this. This is dangerous.
I don't know.
But when you're in there, it feels differently. I don't know how to explain it.
We'll see where it takes us, but it is fascinating. And it was a major announcement yesterday, and we'll follow up from that. And this is the first of the year and one of the largest in the world, this consumer electronics in Las Vegas. And it's been dominated by artificial intelligence conversations and automotive and trucks.
And also dominated by Pittsburgh firms, Near Earth Autonomy around the flyerless air flight. You know, there's a lot of Pittsburgh stuff going on, and we're excited to have it here.
I don't know if I'm ready to get on an airplane with no pilots, but we'll see. From Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. And boy, it's exciting when we're just talking about the technology here. And we hope some way, shape, or form, and let me just ask you publicly, how do you feel about the Nippon U.S. Steel deal for our region?
Well, the important thing, I think, is that there's an investment made in upgrading the technology of the existing facility. So whoever U.S. Steel ultimately sells to, and it looks like they want to sell, they want to sell to somebody, that individual or that company comes in and invests in this region. Nippon has made that commitment. Many people want them to get the jobs, and certainly locally you've seen the mayors of Clairton and North Braddock and Braddock and West Mifflin, et cetera, and in the rank and file in the area want to come out for it. The national leaders of the steel workers have come out against it, and I think that's kept a lot of Democratic elected officials kind of on the sidelines, or at least neutralized. They don't want to go against the leadership of the USW. And now you've got Trump on his side saying he's against it. So I think that's probably kept some Republican leaders from going full-throated to say we need to move this deal forward. So now that President Biden has come out against it, And now the lawsuit is moving forward. I don't know how long that's going to take. I don't know what process that. That's kind of a new way to go against the CFIUS way, the Foreign Investment Committee. So it remains to be seen. But I think we're certainly at risk of having these older plants, if they don't get the new technology, to be able to be competitive in the world market.
And for those who forget, U.S. Steel passed on upgrading the Mon Valley Works.
They did.
And they moved south. So their own company kind of left us a little bit in the lurch here. And so hopefully they find a way to make it work for our community.
And when you think about, you know, the history of Pittsburgh, we're talking about the Walk of Fame and all the great, you know, the Carnegies, the Fricks, and August Wilson, et cetera. When Pittsburgh developed steelmaking back a century and a half ago, we were the world leaders in doing that. And it created an industry that lasted over a century. We're seeing this very same thing. We're talking about the autonomous vehicle, the new mode of transportation. Where's that being developed? Developed in Pittsburgh, and developed at a place called Carnegie Mellon University, which came out of the investment of steel when Andrew Carnegie created Carnegie Tech. You know, there's a full circle of going around that's happened really right here in our region as we've been technological leaders for over a century.
Well, I hope the right thing happens for our community. It'll be a big and important economic piece to a growing region if all of these other things continue. As you know, I mean, that's what you're doing for a living now, is evaluating these things, looking to the future.
Yeah, looking futuristic, but also making sure that we're diversified. You know, we know that steel is not the only thing we can base our economy on the way
You're right.
Did a century ago.
Regardless.
It's a piece of the puzzle. It's an important piece of the puzzle, no question. But we're diversifying into energy and into transportation and robotics and life sciences and all the various things we talk about.
All right, on the fun side, we've got 5 days of football. If you're a football fan, you got tomorrow night and Friday night college football playoffs, then wild card weekend, of course, Steelers and the Ravens Saturday night, and then on into Monday night. So you got a lot of excitement here, and there are a lot of local intrigues in the Final Four in football in college.
There sure are. I mean, when you think about rabid fans, Penn State, I mean, you know, the Penn State alumni being so strong, and I have eight of them in my own family that have gone.
I often think about that, Rich. I mean, with eight children, the astronomical odds of them all going to the same university is incalculable.
Well,
I mean, that's amazing. It really is.
Once the oldest couple went there, the other ones would go up and visit.
But there's always a rogue in the family that goes, well, I'm going here. But yet you're Irish Catholic, and you've got the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame.
The Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. And when you think about southwestern Pennsylvania, ton of Penn State fans, ton of Notre Dame fans. So you've got this real rivalry, even though they're not like Pitt or Duquesne or CMU, et cetera. We have rabid fans. And then the third team in this, Ohio State.
Right.
There's a ton of Ohio State alumni.
We know a couple that are really engaged.
They're very engaged and very, very rabid. So regardless of how this all plays out, it's going to be a lot of interest. And then, of course, the Steelers and the Ravens, which is one of the best rivalries, if not the best rivalry in the NFL over the last decade, is going to be a lot of fun. Big weekend.
I got to be thinking, if I'm Baltimore, just because the Steelers have had their number, winning 8 of the last 10, including a split this season, as good as Baltimore and people say they are, you know, that's got to be in their head a little bit. Hopefully they find a way to win on the road Saturday night.
And it seems like we've always had the ability to deal with Jackson, who's been just a tremendous NFL player, except his numbers against the Steelers don't always add up to where they are against the rest of the league. He doesn't seem to have the ability to run and get the kind of yardage on the ground that he gets against other teams. So hopefully that will continue.
Well, I hope your favorite college football team wins in the next couple of days. And then we hope our team wins Saturday night on the road in Baltimore. We're with Rich Fitzgerald. We got a lot more coming up in our next half hour. We're also going to talk about the governor, Shapiro, as he rolls into a new year. What's that mean for southwestern Pennsylvania? So We'll talk about that. And until 2, leading up to Colin Dunlap from 2 to 6, Big K Morning Show, Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald, who is the executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Rich, a significant conversion of historic moments coming, you know, with the inauguration, but you also had over the holidays the passing of President Jimmy Carter at age 100. And I think many people haven't been around long enough to know what happened when he was in office. But to me, as a human being, what he and his wife did after he left office was more significant in so many ways in setting examples.
He really was. And you know, President Carter, you know, you go back and those of us of a certain age can remember him, but very few people of a generation would remember. He's a figure out of history, obviously not as successful. He did not get reelected. Ronald Reagan came in and a whole new era of politics came in. But as you said, in the post-presidency world of Jimmy Carter, he became a statesman. He became a person that around the world people would look to with, number one, dignity, but also democracy. Jimmy Carter would often go around the world talking about how democracy is important in all these other countries, and then building homes for the poor, Habitat for Humanity. So his post-presidency probably is the example of how to be president emeritus, president, you know.
How to be a great citizen.
A great citizen, right. He became Citizen Carter, you know, obviously went back home to Georgia, governor of Georgia. His meteoric rise was also very historic in many ways. Talk about somebody coming out of nowhere in the post-Watergate era of the time when, you know, the Nixon administration and then Gerald Ford came in. And it was a contentious time, and Jimmy Carter handled it extremely well.
And he grew up as a son of a peanut farmer, took over the business when his father died. But that was a segregated South, and he recognized that wasn't right, and he spent a lot of his time building bridges.
He did. That's a very good good way to put it. He was a bridge builder. You know, now we have a president that talks about building a wall. So now we got two different ways of doing it. But it was a different time, and I think Jimmy Carter also became somebody that former presidents, President Clinton, President Obama, even President Bush, would sometimes talk to and learn about certain things. And I think President Carter, also, if you look at his concession speech, they've been showing that over the last few days when he conceded to Ronald Reagan. Right. After he talked about how painful it was, but it was the right thing to do and how to help the next president and transition. And it is a great example.
Yeah. If you do any kind of research, and I know you know a lot about presidential history, just the ebb and flow of personalities and politics and all that goes with it. We think, and we are living in strange times in many ways, that it was a very divisive election period, but it wasn't the only times in this country's history where there've been these highs and lows and personalities.
That's exactly right. We've gone through this over many, many years, contentious elections. The Bush-Gore election, certainly of 25 years ago, was another one that became very, very contentious. And the Clinton years, the Obama years, the Bush years, we've had, you know, where you've had, you know, ebbs and flows of what goes on. And, you know, Jimmy Carter and his wife, Roslyn, both were just, I think, great examples of people that came from, quite frankly, very humble beginnings, rose to the pinnacle of power, and then returned to basically their hometown, doing things to continue to serve. I think the word you think about Jimmy Carter is service. He wanted to serve. He wanted to serve his community, wanted to serve his country, served in the military, was a brilliant, as an engineer. I like to think another engineer.
Submarines.
Yeah, he was just put the first solar panels on the White House back in the 70s. That's, you know, nowadays they talk about doing that, but back then that was really groundbreaking in many ways.
Yeah, John Shumway and I interviewed Jimmy Carter when they put out a book because of his service to his church and community, because he would teach the gospel. And he had done that for many decades, too. So it was kind of cool to talk to a former president but not talk politics. He was talking prayers.
Yeah, and you know, you'd be, you know, volunteers would show up to build houses for the poor, and can you imagine standing next to the guy sawing the lumber?
He
was
the
ex-president. He's a president of the United States with a hammer and nails in his hand, putting together a porch for people in need.
And he will be remembered tomorrow formally with the funeral in our nation's capital. Meanwhile, our governor, Josh Shapiro, he's pledged a lot of money over 10 years with a public-private partnership, and you're intricately aware and involved in that part of it. And what about this workforce training for the region?
Yeah, the governor came out with an announcement, and Secretary of Labor and Industry Walker, $650,000 for training for our workforce investment boards. And each county has a workforce investment board, and some of ours are multiple counties. Pittsburgh has the one in Allegheny County called Partner for Work that we're familiar with. But one of the things we've known over these last few years is there are a lot of jobs that are available that are going unfilled. And one of the reasons they're going unfilled is because people don't have the skills, the knowledge and the skills to do the jobs. So the governor is investing in our region $650,000 for a couple, you know, for the workforce training, to get workers trained, to get people back to work. I think it's a great initiative.
What kind of jobs, Rich, in general?
We're talking about manufacturing. We're talking about robotics. We're talking about construction. We're talking about a whole host of things. It'll be in the medical field. So it'll be up to these workforce investment boards, which are basically made up of people that are appointed by county commissioners, whether it's in Armstrong County, whether it's in Fayette County, Greene County, Allegheny County.
So these are all the people you're working with.
These are the people we're working with, and these are the people from industry. So you would have people that sit on this board from, say, U.S. Steel or UPMC or PPG or Google, that are part of these boards, talking about what type of programs and what kind of training is going to be needed. They work with our community colleges. They work with our building trades. They work with apprenticeship programs. So it's really targeted to the needs of the industry in a certain area. It could be around energy. So there's a lot of training that needs to be done. And these are the type of investments in the future. We talk about investing in our young people, investing in our future, that will be made. And we're going to have the secretary come on maybe next week or the week after to talk about more details about how that will affect, you know, the folks in Washington, Beaver, Butler, Lawrence counties.
And how do we connect the people who are seeking to make those training challenges?
Exactly.
Final thoughts with our Wednesday guest, Rich Fitzgerald, executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. And one of the things I wanted to talk, this is certainly on the lighter side, is the arts festivals being shortened. What happened?
I don't know. And you know, I think we've had mixed news in the last couple of days out of downtown Pittsburgh. K&L Gates has decided to stay and sign a long-term lease.
Why is that a big deal?
Because I think you've got a major international company that's headquartered at a law firm headquartered in Pittsburgh. And K&L Gates has offices in London and in Germany and all over the world, all over the country. They've decided to plant their flag and stay in downtown Pittsburgh.
And so, I think that's important because other
really important
stakeholders will look at that say, okay, we're going to stick it out until, you know, the dynamic has changed because of the occupancy rates downtown for commercial real estate.
Exactly. And you mentioned early on in the show about that the governor is investing in a significant amount of money into downtown Pittsburgh on the revitalization of the Golden Triangle. The Arts Festival is one of these traditional couple weekend, 10-day, in the middle of summer when things are going on. And now they've shortened it this year to 4 days, from 10 days to 4 days. What does that mean? They're talking about, is there construction? What does that mean to the market? What does that mean to people coming downtown and those type of things? That remains to be seen where that will go. So the dynamic and flux of what's happening in the Golden Triangle is obviously going to play out over the next few months in a mayor's race that's coming about. So we talk about the political season as we turn the calendar. I think a lot of that's going to be talked about over the next couple of months.
What do you see as the biggest innovations for the region in 2025?
I think continued advanced manufacturing and energy. I think as you may see a pivot with this new administration coming in when it comes to energy, there could be more investment in natural gas. And AI is going to be absolutely huge. We talk about that. We talked about NVIDIA, the biggest company in the country with a market cap, planting a flag here in Pittsburgh. And I think the ability for us to do artificial intelligence with CMU, with Pitt, with the natural gas and the energy we have, I think gives us a lot of opportunities. And we have a governor that's very forward-thinking and being very competitive, to want to compete against the Ohios and the Michigans and doing all these kind of things. So I'm very optimistic.
Speaking of NVIDIA, coming up right after the news, can you stay with us? Because we have the senior vice president of Aurora coming up to talk about their big announcement at the big show in Las Vegas.
Huge announcement. And yes, I'm anxious to talk to this individual. I talked to some of the folks at their company yesterday after that announcement came out. They're a Pittsburgh Strip District-based company doing some great things, and I think they're going to become much more prominent in the years to come, particularly as they become the first one to do the driverless truck down in Texas.
And thanks to Paul Rasmussen, Rich, due to numerous downtown revitalization projects occurring in the summer of 2025, presumably some of those to prep the city for April 26 for the draft.
We didn't even talk about that, but yes, that's going to be a huge, huge deal for this region.
So they have issues with, you know, they're just going to make the festival shorter. And with festival's new long-term home in 2026, the 25 festival will take place in a new and temporary downtown location. So they'll announce all that. But that makes sense if they're doing a lot of things downtown this summer to get ready for next spring and the draft, which will be huge.
That'll be good. And as Josh Shapiro, I think what he said, let's hope the Steelers have the last pick of the draft in that year. If we know what that means.
From your lips to God's ears. I'm going to put you on the spot, too. Who are you rooting for tomorrow night? The Fighting Irish or Penn State?